This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. We have another Man Down Mashup Wednesday, and we're talking about Bahamianese. Yes, Bahamianese is a term, but not just Bahamianese being the term. I have a doctor, a PhD person who said that we don't just speak Bahamianese. The Bahamas has a Creole language. And I said, Creole? What you mean Bahamians speak Creole? We speak a Bahamian dialect. I know what we speak in the Bahamas. We speak English, only English, and we speak some broken English, some broke up English, but we don't speak no Creole. We don't speak no Creole English. So I'm trying to find out exactly what does it mean to have a Creole language? What does it mean to have a dialect language? What is this pigeon tongue people just talk about, right? What is this broken English? Is there such a thing? Why is it that in the UK, they have about 12 different dialects, but no Creole? But instead of the Bahamas, where we only have 400 people, there is a PhD woman who gone to school for these things, who said, no, this ain't just a broken English. This is a language that we speak inside the Bahamas. And that language is a Creole language. And I say, no, ma'am, I like you, miss, but you ain't talking sense. Somebody, I invite you and give you space to explain some definitions first. We can start off with some definitions. And then you make a case. You make your case as to how the Bahamas, Bahamians, to speak Creole, this Creole English that you're speaking. But I would like to welcome my favorite friend back to the show, Ms. Nicolette Bethel Cox.
Burroughs.
Where are you going? I don't know how I get to. No, I think it all. Anyway, I've given you Thingham. I've given you, boy, your husband be mad at me. That's why I stick to Bethel, because I know you.
There you go. That's fine. That's the legal name.
Let's go by Miss Nicolette Bethel and start off. State your credentials first so people understand who you are, that you're talking sense.
Okay.
And then let's go to the definition of what is a dialect, what is a Creole. What is a pigeon language? And we'll start the conversation from
okay,
there.
Okay, cool. All right, so I am... Lord, you asked me to put out my credentials. All right, so I have a PhD in social anthropology. And what part of what we study in anthropology is language. I am not a linguist. I don't do linguistic anthropology, so there's limitations to what I know. But I could talk a little bit about what language is, how it's formed, and... I could give you the definitions that you're asking about.
You're not a linguist. I just heard that part. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm not. But I am an anthropologist.
Yes, ma'am.
And I did study linguistic anthropology. But if you want to ask me questions like what percentage and what
this, that, and the next thing,
then I could give you a whole list of names of Bahamian linguistic professors.
Go there soon.
Yeah. So that you could call on them to actually give you the details.
Okay.
But, yeah, so language is more than words. That's the first thing. And one of the things that I keep seeing in the people who say, oh, we got a language, we have a Bahamian dialect and we don't have no Creole, et cetera, et cetera, is people are referring to the vocabulary that we're using and the words that we're using. But language is not just words. There is a surface of language, and that's the vocabulary that you have. But there's also an underlying structure of language that is that determines the kind of rules that we follow when we're trying to put forward our ideas, right? And part of that structure is grammar. Part of it is syntax. I could go through a bunch of things. Like when we start to look at the study of language, we start to talk about all kinds of things like phonology and morphology and lexicon and syntax. And these are the kinds of things that we bring to the table when we start to talk about what is a dialect, what is a Creole, what is a pidgin, etc.
Okay.
So, yeah.
No,
ask your question.
So let's go with definitions.
Okay.
What is a dialect?
A dialect is what happens when languages evolve sort of like organically. I'm scared to use that word these days. Or kind of naturally. right? So you have regional differentiation, regional variation, and as those variations separate and become more and more different, different dialects can evolve, right?
So is it safe to say that's a different version of a established tongue?
I don't want to say of an established tongue, because the question then arises, what do you mean by established? Who decides what's established and what isn't?
Those who name the Bahamas and name the seas, those people.
No, let's not worry. No. We're talking about a process, so don't have to be established. Established tongue is something that is political and powerful and so on. I see Erin raising her hand, man. She's like, in class.
He was a teacher, I started rousing. Abaco, you're talking about just now.
Mm.
Like, is the word Abaco an example of that?
Could be.
In some...
Could be.
Because in Arbor Island, what they call it Habaco.
Yeah, it could be.
And in Abaco, they call it Abaco. So Habaco and Abaco.
I can get there, Erin.
That was just an example of...
Because where they got that tongue from is from the U.S. too. And they have islands in the United States where the loyalists came from who still speak just like that. And you can't distinguish those Americans from the Spanish Welds and the
I don't like how you suggest...
No, but I ain't get there yet.
I don't like how you suggesting it started in the U.S. What if we all had a common ancestor that spoke the same?
Yeah. That's them there. But let's go. We go to definition.
So that's a dialect. So a dialect is... So you could say there are many Bahamian dialects. We have dialects within the Bahamian Creole.
Explain.
All right. So if you're in Exuma, you speak in Bahamian Creole, but you may be speaking a different dialect of that Bahamian Creole than somebody in Cat Island, who is speaking a different dialect of Bahamian Creole being the language.
We're getting there to Roy Creole next.
What is... Okay, no. We can't go to Creole until we go to Pidgin.
Okay.
So what we have in the Americas...
No. Let's make sure everyone understands. Dialect means a variation of a language or different
no. Tone. No. Dialects evolve, like I said, organically.
Yeah.
Creoles are created in a different kind of crucible. They're created when groups of people are forced to come together with completely different languages. A dialect is an evolution from within a language. And let's not use the word
evolution from within a language.
Right. Yes. Regional differentiation and so on.
Okay. Now Pidgin.
So a Pidgin is what happens in that first encounter. So when you had various colonial encounters, let's start with that, because that's generally where we start to see Pidgins coming about. They could be simply trading, or they could be instances of conquest, or they could be instances of enslavement, mm-hmm. right? But when you have that colonial encounter where you have a dominant group and a subordinate group, then you start to see... There has to be a place where those two groups can communicate in some way or another. Even if you are enslaving people, people have to be able to follow your commands. And you're not necessarily learning their language to teach them the commands. You're using your language, but you're simplifying it. And so a Pidgin is that first encounter where you have a very simplified form of a language that is there to make things happen. So you get a Pidgin where you have groups of people trading. They will have a Pidgin language, and the words will only deal with trade. Or you'll have a Pidgin in a situation where you're on a plantation and you need to give commands to people, so they'll just be commands. It's not a full language. It is a language where you have two groups of fundamentally different languages in a very specific relationship having to communicate. I see the hand again. I can call on. Yes.
All right.
Screen.
So the word, we use the word mommy when in domestic situations with Bahamians and Haitians, uh-huh. whether it's gardening or housekeeping, the uh-huh. word mommy came up. I thought, first of all, when I was first encountered.
Even the Latin people.
Right. I said,
that's interesting.
Mommy. I growing up, I thought it was a term of respect for an elder woman in that community, but it's a shortening of my ami, right? My friend in French, mami, which is my M'AMI.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an example?
Could be. I mean, I never even thought about that, but I think we need to be open to those kinds of situations because language is always evolving, and it is not impossible that we are functioning in Pidgin situations today. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough. That's where my limitations come in, because not being a linguistics professor, That kind of question is better answered by some of the people I
So I understand for. What a dialect is. Right. I understand what a pidgin is.
Okay.
Right? So, and I see that this language is an evolution, it's a movement.
Yes.
And then I'm going to go backwards, but I want to understand
what a
Creole is now.
Okay.
So we have three vocabulary words we're going to be using to determine whether the Bahamas has a Creole language.
So the Creole is what comes about. So let's talk about what that word means, not just in terms of language, but what it actually means in terms of history. So Creole was first applied to those people who were born in the Americas of enslaved African parents. So you would have African slaves who were captured and brought in. Hold up. And then the next set of people, this is the first time that it becomes used.
And I wanted to investigate it. So you're saying Creole is
American term.
It's a New World word.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
It is. And it is used to describe, it was used to distinguish those people who had been brought across the Atlantic from Africa and those people who had been born in the Americas. And I can really only speak for the United States and the Caribbean, but there was a sense that Creolized enslaved Creole people were better slaves than the enslaved Africans, because the enslaved Africans had been free, whereas the enslaved their children were born into enslavement.
Okay, sorry.
So that's where Creole comes from. And then you see Creole being applied to all kinds of things. Like in Louisiana, it refers to their food and their culture and so on, because it refers to this encounter, this response to this encounter of the subordinate group and the dominant group.
Right. It's not just a mixing of languages.
Not,
it's about the power structure.
It is about the power structure, and it's not a separation. That's why I say you can have different dialects within Bahamian Creole, because we have regional differentiation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So different islands would have a different way of dealing with the Bahamian Creole. The Creole... And what we talk about when we're talking about Creoles in a language situation is you have a vocabulary that generally comes from the dominant culture.
Dominant culture.
Lying atop a grammatical structure that comes from the subordinate culture.
Put your hand up, Mr. Nuri, and ask her this question.
Go ahead.
Is Torekli an example of that? Where directly is the dominant word, but the way that we speak, we say it Torekli.
I would say that could be dialect or it could be Creole. I don't know enough about that.
And the space
the use
within
of that
which
word and the space in which it's being used. I believe that that has an African parallel, but I am not sure because I'm not a linguistic professor.
And I
that
just
kind
want
of detail,
to
I don't know.
Investigate, but anyway. Directly is used also in the Gullah Geechee community and also Guyana as a word, as seemingly like
so
how we use it.
So in that case, it probably is a transliteration of a term that was used in the African language to mean right now, right?
Okay.
Because directly in English does not mean right now. Directly in English means in a straight line.
Yes.
So right?
Let's talk about how we got our language in the Bahamas.
But wait, let me finish where I go, because I finished with Creoles. So when we start to look at how we can identify Creoles is by looking at things like how do we make plurals in our language, right? How do we create verbs and verb tenses in our language? How do we deal with possessives? How do we deal with emphasis? And these are four areas that I could point to say that Bahamian is definitely a Creole. All right.
Repeat the four areas.
So the four, well, there are more, but these would be the four core areas. How do we treat verbs? Right? How do we treat plurals? Noun, how do we make verbs? How do we conjugate our verbs, let's say? How do we make nouns plural? How do we indicate possessives? And how do we, what was the fourth one I said? I can't remember.
No worries, we come back to it. Go ahead.
I got in. Anyway, yes. Mm-hmm. And how do we emphasize things?
Right, emphasis.
Okay. Emphasis.
Yeah.
Right. So one of the things that convinced me that we are speaking a different language. Our mother tongue, Bahamian's mother tongue, unless you grow up perhaps in a Euro-Bahamian household or in a very educated household where the first language that is spoken to you is English. In most cases, the first language that is spoken to us is not English. It is Bahamian Creole, right? And then we may grow into an English-speaking environment. Most of us are bilingual.
Mm-hmm.
But is when I came to teach English in high school, because the same errors, the errors that persist again and again and again in English, are errors that are following African rules.
So you're saying that we speak a different language than English.
Yes, I am.
And that different language, quoting James Catlin, just for his
word. Yeah, let's use his word.
Bahamianese.
Yeah, that's what he called
it. So there's English and there's Bahamianese.
Yes.
And that Bahamianese is a Creole
Yes, absolutely.
Language.
And if you're talking about it academically, we have BCE, Bahamian Creole English.
B-E-C.
BCE, Bahamian Creole English.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Bahamian BSE, Bahamian Standard English.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, most of us are moving along a continuum between the two, depending on where we are, who we're talking to, what the context is. Generally, if we talk to children, we're almost always going to fall into the Creole. Almost always. When we speak to our friends, we're almost always falling into the Creole.
I have a call here.
Right now I am speaking in Bahamian Standard English.
Yes. We are all speaking in a version of Bahamian Standard English.
Yes.
What every so often we fall.
Well, Aaron is probably likely to be speaking in Creole.
Yeah. You speak Creole, Aaron.
Dying your business.
See? There you go.
And I try to adopt that as much as I can. But let's go to this caller. And I want to start the origins of our language here.
Okay.
How we got this language, right? From whence it came. And I want you, like a story-based question.
Okay.
It's not an academic-based question. It's a history-based question. So in terms of where a narrative that is being given. That's where I want to go. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good day. I the guest says most of us are bilingual, but I take it in a way that the Bahamian people need to learn different languages, because if nowadays there are different positions where people need people to speak different languages, and the Bahamians are being pushed out because they only speak English. So I look online and I notice that they say we are Creole and English. We have to put English back as number one in the Bahamas, because this is the Bahamas. If there are certain jobs there, and Bahamians should be first, and they shouldn't get other people in those positions just because they speak another language. This is English. If you want to be a citizen, you need to learn to speak English. To put people at registers because they speak another language, and then knocking us on the side. Come on, if you want to be a citizen, remember, learn the language. We all are one, but this is the Bahamas.
Call it.
It's for the Bahamas.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. You having a good nap morning?
Yes, I had a lot of nap last night.
All right. So I got a quick question for you. Our guest today just told us that we speak two distinct forms of English in the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and possibly this read is Bahamas Standard English. And that's what people like me who went to QC, we go around the place speaking that all the time and pretending like we are proper
when you're on
people,
the radio.
Right? And then there's Bahamian Common Creole English. There's Bahamian Creole English, right? If we were to do a citizenship test, do you think Bahamians, the people who want to qualify for citizenship, should be fluent in both Bahamian Creole English and Bahamian Standard English as a part of the test?
You tricked me, because guess what? I think all of us should learn Creole. I mean, look, I'm talking about the Creole language that the Haitian brothers speak. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm concerned that we, as Bahamians who speak English, need to learn that too, or else we're not going to have any jobs, because they're hiring people who speak that language.
Who can engage that community
as well. Out. This is the Bahamas. Please, let's learn together and come together as one, to be as one people. We are one. Let's not fight amongst each other, but let's learn the language together.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Have a wonderful day.
But our goal is to stick on to the Bahamian Creole language.
So I just want to say I think that is one of the reasons why people have a reaction to the idea of Creole. People say we don't speak Creole because what people may not realize is that I would venture to say that every single country in the Americas has its own Creole. If it had a history of enslavement or subordination of a group of people who spoke a different language, there will be a Creole in that country. But we don't all call it Creole, all right? In Haiti, they have adopted that term and made that the name of their language. In Jamaica, they have not taken that term. They have called that Creole that they have Patois, right? In Suriname and in the Dutch Islands, they call it Papiamentu.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Mm-hmm. But this is all, these are all variations of Creoles. In the United States of America, they call it Ebonics.
Or AAVE, African American Vernacular English.
I'm going to get
but that
there.
That is another Creole, again.
I want to get there, right? But I also want to know the narrative on how we get this language, this accent, this
But I can't talk about the accent. I can't talk about the accent. That's why I sent everybody to the Dictionary of Bahamian English. This
we can get there too.
Standard.
I want to hear where this dictionary come from. But do you have a narrative of why we speak?
Well, all right. So if I were to go through the Bahamian history, or if I were to talk about the languages that we have in the Bahamas, we have a Bahamian dialect, yes. A Bahamian dialect of English, because there are European Bahamian settlers who would have spoken, who would have evolved a dialect of English. They're not in the same situation as the people who came in from Africa who had to go through the pidgin stage to the Creole stage, right? During the enslavement of the Africans that they brought across the Atlantic, there was a tradition, or there was a strategy, and let's not call it a tradition, a strategy of mixing up people from different language groups, because the idea was you want to separate these people, because if they can all speak the same language, they can resist, they can have revolution, they can overthrow you. There's been, in the context of enslavement, there's always a minority of the dominant group and a majority of the enslaved or of the subordinate group. So all kinds of techniques were used to ensure that the dominant group remained dominant. And one of them was to mix up people. So it wasn't just that, you know, obviously Africa is a huge continent with many different nations and languages. And so what you would do is you would try on your plantation to have a bunch of people who could not communicate with each other, except through the pidgin that you teach in them.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right? And so you have all these different kinds of structures that are influencing the Bahamian. But what is really interesting in the Bahamian, and again, this is old research, so you want to bring in one of these other 21st century linguistics professors to update this, or even students at UB who have taken linguistics. But one of the things that has very much influenced the Bahamian Creole English is Yoruba. If we're going to go back to a specific African language, it would mm-hmm. be Yoruba and a couple of other Nigerian ones. Because during the 19th century, and this is maybe not part of the history that we are really taught that much, but during the 19th century, from about 1807 to about 1860, the British, who had outlawed the practice of going and getting slaves from Africa, i.e. kidnapping new people and enslaving them, they simply rotated the people who were already enslaved mm-hmm. and continued to breed people into slavery, but they didn't kidnap mm-hmm. people anymore. And what they did was, in order to solidify their superiority in Europe, was they would intercept the slaver ships, because France was later, and the Spanish and the Portuguese colonies were much later, and the American colonies were later. They maintained the slave trade well past 1807. So the British would intercept slave ships and free the Africans on those slave ships. And one of the places where many of those Africans were settled was the Bahamas, because it was the first British port that people would come to. And so we have a strong liberated African tradition that has influenced our drumming, that has influenced our food, that has influenced our language. And so it's no surprise to me that in the 1980s, when they did the first linguistic studies, one of the strongest links and the grammatical structure and the some of the lexicon, i.e. the words that we used, came from Yoruba.
I'm going to go to the callers now, but I want to ask you this. Aaron hinted to it earlier that Hopetown Abaco, mm-hmm. Spanish Wealth mm-hmm. Abaco, has their own...
Spanish Wealth Eleuthera.
Eleuthera, sorry. Spanish Wealth Eleuthera have their own accent. They
have their own dialect. I would say they have their own dialect.
Is that... But when you had a narrative of the Bahamian...
They would have a dialect probably of English.
But hold on, let me say this, right? When you had the narrative of what language does a Bahamian speak, you had the term Gullah Geechee. Bahamians speak Gullah Geechee. Does that include people who are from Eleuthera and who are from Abaco? or because there's such a thing as a plantation language, and that's the where the pidgin dialect comes in and say that first inaction. But I want to go into that. But I so the phones are lit, and I really want to give the people an opportunity.
You want me to answer that, or you want to go to the phones first?
No, you go to answer. As soon as the first caller speak. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you, Nuri. This is an excellent show. I'm really glad to be in the Guardian University this morning. I have a question for your guests as it relates to this languages thing, the Creole. I have a friend of mine who speaks Creole, and in Creole, to him, the word tall, when he say tall in Creole, he can mean tall and long.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how much of this language that you were forced to develop cause you to become aggressive because there's not very many words that you can really find to express your innermost feeling that you can develop with the English language. How much has that contributed to the aggression that you find in this black race, particularly in Africa and all over? And if there has been a charge for that, what could we look at reparation for how far we have been set back by not given the proper language to build our life on? You follow where I'm going?
I absolutely follow where you're going. And I can't even begin to answer that question because it's a deep, deep question and it needs research and it needs...
Then go back to the question I asked for.
Yeah,
but
let me just say, I don't know. I don't know of anybody who's linked the language part of it to that. But if you know, I don't know how many people are aware of the Martinican psychiatrist, Frantz Fanon, who was working in Algeria and France in the 1950s, and who wrote The Wretched of the Earth. One of the things he says is that one of the responses to the colonial violence that is put on top of any colonial situation is violence of some sort or another, right? And it comes out in everything. I would push back on the... I don't want to say I would push back. I think that violence is part, he argues, and I would agree with him, that violence is part of a psychological condition that results from that kind of colonial domination and that removal of all agency. I just have never heard it applied to the question of language, which I think is a really interesting question.
Right. I look at it as if we can do a whole nother show on that.
But not with me, because I'm not a linguist.
We're doing it with you, Ms. Bevel. Go on to the caller.
I can't answer that question.
Go on to the caller, Mr. Nuri. There's too much to...
I also want to know, right? Jamaica has their patois, right? They did a whole Bible.
Yes, they did.
In patois.
Mm-hmm.
In Haiti, with their Creole, in Martinique, right? Mm-hmm. They can teach and in the French and in Creole and have it as a written language.
Yes.
Is there a written language in Bahamanese?
Not yet.
Is there a dictionary of Bahamian terms?
Yes.
And who did that dictionary of Bahamian terms?
Alison Schilling.
She's Bahamian?
Nope. And John Holm.
These foreigners always want dictators.
All right.
Yes, absolutely. They were linguistics. They were linguistic professors in the 1980s at the College of the Bahamas, and they did their study of Bahamian Creole English.
Is it possible? Is it fair? Can I say that we have our Creole, we have a language system,
mm-hmm.
we have structure. It is not being used because the dominant part of the Creole process is quieting it. It's diminishing it. It's refusing to allow it to live.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Educational system?
Yeah, no, from the 1980s, the proposal has been among teachers of English to teach English in the schools as a second language, because it is. And there's been huge resistance because it's like, what you talking about? This ain't... And now I've descended into Bahamian Creole, right?
Guy, your place to make that decision.
Right?
That's the possessive.
What you talking about? We speak English,
mm-hmm.
right? When we don't.
We don't speak English.
Right? So expecting, you know, as a teacher in college, I'm still asking my students, use word, because you missed that past tense. Because in the African languages that we speak, are the grammatical structure on which English is laid, verbs in past tense are not conjugated the way that they're conjugated in English. Possessives are not held in the same way as they're held in English. So noun plurals are not made by by pluralizing a noun. We are, in many cases, you're supposed to be able to figure out how many people you're talking about by the context.
I'm going to bait you. I'm going to go to Carla first. I'm going to have you simmer on this question. In, as a professor at teaching university, different types of behemoths, and you mentioned that the persons on Abaco and Eleuterate Anglo-Bohemians, right? They have their own dialect. Do you find that when you're teaching at UB, white Bohemians tend to speak standardized English easier in terms of conjugating or embracing it? I bait you. I want you to think about that because I know it's a charged question. But let me go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nuri and Ms. Green and to your guests.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, I always thought linguistics was much harder than science for me because it's so perplexing, you know, just linguistics. And so I've noticed, you know, when I was in primary school, we used to, you know, like, then guys with a pair around the school, like, you know, they would be bigger than us, so we used to call them the Tiefen boys, right? Mm-hmm. And I realized, you know, when I look up the word Tiefen, you know, I realize it's a Bohemian dialect because you get the word T-H-I-V-I-N-G, thieving. And so when I look at people reports, I see the word Tiefen. So we don't, most people don't spell it with the V. So I was wondering, when did they discontinue using the F? Because I always noticed Tiefen. So between the verb and the adjective, which is it, man? Because you're linguistic. And it's just really,
It depends on which language you're speaking.
And thank you very much, Carl.
I'm speaking English. That's what I'm saying. I mean, what I'm saying is I'm telling you, they have it as T-H-I. E-V-I-N-G.
You're talking about the English word. The English word is expressed in a particular way. I mean, that's why I said it depends on which language you're speaking. If you're speaking English, thieving was around... I mean, you're saying when did it take on the... or lose the F or get the V or whatever. No, they're parallel. Tiefen is part of Bahamian Creole English using or adapting an English word to convey a particular kind of idea. It's close, but it's not exactly the same thing as thieving and thievery, right? And the way we use that word is led by the Africanisms at the bottom of our language. So that's why I say it depends on which language you're talking about.
Go back to that question about European Bohemians versus African Bohemians as your UB student and trying to standardize English and their encounter or their approach, that's the right word I'm looking for, to learning the English, the standardized English.
I don't know the answer to that question because I am not sure that I'm not sure that we're covering enough variables.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So part of it, yes, could be your ethnicity. If you come from a European Bahamian background and your mother tongue is English or a form of English, then presumably you will be better at making English grammar because it's going to sound more natural to you,
mm-hmm.
right? But the issue that we have is that we now have a kind of middle-of-the-road standard that everybody speaks, mm-hmm. white and black, that is derived from or it is coming out of the Bahamian Creole as well. So I don't know how to answer that question. Also, it's not necessarily related to ethnicity. It can also be related to the education level of your household, right? Even if the very first language that is spoken to you is Bahamian Creole, in certain households, like the one I was raised in, as soon as we were able to speak, we were taught that you must say it this particular way because that is speaking English.
Perhaps
right?
One of the most violent times in a young Bahamian, young middle class, upper class Bahamian's life is when they're learning English. I suffered from pinches and
mm-hmm.
pokes to
when you spoke your mother tongue.
Right, to ensure that I understood the standard mm-hmm. Bahamian standard English,
that's right.
And that's what I spoke in not Bahamian Creole English.
It's not necessarily an ethnicity thing.
Is the word Creole a verb or a noun? Can you creolize the word?
You can.
Or is it a noun that we speak Creole or is a movement?
We speak a Creole.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. We speak a Creole. We have not named our Creole. James Catlin is the man who named the Creole. He called it Bahamianese.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But we have not accepted that. We have the academic term, which is Bahamian Creole English. We speak a Creole.
and in terms of can it be a verb? We creolize in things all
right.
the time.
Right.
Look at the
to
evolution.
Eyes, when you add eyes.
Yeah.
Yes, you can creolize all kinds of things.
Does there exist a book that will explain the syntax
yes.
And grammar? And what is that book? And
Bahamian,
where
the Dictionary of Bahamian English, which is old. It collected the words. And so what is interesting is that there's a feeling that Bahamian Creole English is being eroded or being amalgamated into a more standardized English, partly through the internet, partly through globalization, partly through more urbanization. All kinds of things are affecting it. But if you look in the Dictionary of Bahamian English, you'll see all kinds of words that maybe you heard your Grammy use that are not currently being used, that are spelt differently from the way they're being spelt on social media now. All right? Like, for example, I noticed that there are some people who say, I then something, something. Let me see how I could do it.
I do that all the time.
No. But you don't write T-H-E-N. But what is happening on social media is people are writing T-H-E-N, thinking that that is the word. But what it actually is, it's a conjugate, it's an African conjugation of a particular verb.
I understand.
Because in order to express past tense, instead of adding something on at the end, like I did that or it ended, what the African language that we are based on would do is say it done end.
I done finish.
Yeah. So would it be concluded as a street language?
The writing of it as then, or the understanding of it as T-H-E-N, is the street language of something that has already been collected, but it's been recognized. The way it was originally written was D-O-N-E, done, like using a verb. Then is an adverb. Is
sounds like
an adverb. It ain't a verb.
Okay, we have another callie here, but it sounds like, as you're saying, that our language is still evolving.
Yes,
it's moving.
Yeah. Cultures and language evolve
and you
all
hinted,
the time.
You hinted that the Creole that we once spoke or we accepted as if we had a Creole in the Bahamas is now perhaps moving towards a standardized English.
No. That's not what
I
said.
As we're speaking now, more Bahamians are speaking standardized English instead of a Creole.
No. So... Now, you see, when you start to get into linguistics. So there are there are ways in which people look at, there's a continuum of languages in any society, right? In whatever society you're in. But particularly in societies which have Creoles, where you have the dominant language and the subordinate language, there's a continuum. And so you would say you'd have a basilect, which would be the purest form of the Creole spoken by the people who have maybe less exposure to the standard. Okay, and you could still find that among older people on family islands, for example. You'd still find pretty, I don't want to say pure, but pretty well-developed, well-integrated basilect. All right, then you have what you call the acrolect, which is what the educated people speak, which is the closest to the standard. And then you have a mesolect, which is that in-between place where these things are infusing each other. And what's happening in New Providence, because we are a city and because we are an urbanized society that is very globalized, is we're developing more of the mesolect, that in-between slider.
My question here is it that who controls the most commerce in terms of sales and moving around controls the language that the people will speak in every or any country?
No, I don't think so.
It's not commerce, but there's an element of dominance, right?
Yeah. Who controls the education?
Right.
Okay.
Who controls the law?
Let's go to this
commerce caller. Commerce is one of those places where you'll find more. The whole thing is you just want to sell.
Yes.
Right?
I go to this caller and I want to ask you this, right? When you're getting a job, especially these hotel jobs, they're asking you to speak standard English as your main stream, right? Whereas I would assume the majority of people in tourism speaks a standardized English in contrast to a Creole English. And I want you to comment on that right after this caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call again once, call again twice. And we hang up from that caller.
And then I get two questions after.
Okay. So you answer that question, Nicolette, and then we go back to Erin.
Yeah, I am not sure. I don't know how to answer that question again. I mean, you keep asking these questions as though there's a single answer. But there's a poem that I hope many people have heard by Obadiah Michael Smith called Wax Paper People. And it's the only poem that I am aware of that he wrote in Bahamian. Everything else he writes is in standard English.
Oh, that was nice.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I wish I could quote it. But it is a person speaking Creole English to their tourist-serving friends, right? And it's like, why you want to do this? Why you want to do this? Why you want to be... It's the satire on how we switch. People who think they need to speak standard English to deal with tourists may overcorrect, may actually speak what would be broken English. So what we call bad English or broken English is often the Creole. But when people try to translate what they would say normally in their Creole, in their language, into Bahamian standard English without really understanding the rules, that overcorrection then results in bad English.
I agree to Erin. Is there such a thing as broken English? And in our Creole language, is there rules in the language in terms of conjugating?
Absolutely.
Say, and can you say one or two of them?
Can you say one or two of those rules?
Well, I think I already did when I was talking about past tenses and the fact that we don't...
No, example, I mean. Right. So I can hear it, and so I can listen to these
okay,
words.
Okay, so let's go to a plural.
But let's make the point. My theory is we don't have enough vocabulary. We don't have enough syntax and examples.
We have all the syntax is there. Your problem is you're seeing too much English in our vocabulary, all right? And you're thinking because we have all these English words, we have lost something. But these English words are lying on top of a particular structure, which hasn't really gone anywhere. So, for example, let me talk about plurals and let me talk about possessives rather than verbs, because they're easier for me because I ain't no linguistic professor. All right, so in English, when we talk about more than one thing, the rule is you add S unless it's an unusual word like child and children or sheep and sheep and things like that, right? That is not how plurals are made in the African grammar, right? In some cases, it comes from context. So I see one house, I see two house, I see tree house. Why do I need to add an S there? Because when you count in, you know there's more than one house. All right? The language doesn't necessarily do that. But when we're talking about people, groups of people, for example, I go down the road to Andrew them. There is no such thing as Andrew them in English. That is not a conjugation that exists. That's not a form that exists in English. That is the African syntax.
That's a Long Island term. That's how them people in South Long Island talk.
She said them or right? Them or the, D-E-M.
No, them is them. But it sound like them Long Island red people talking. That don't necessarily sound African.
It don't have to sound African.
But it could be Long Island red people. Let me bring that up.
What makes you think Long Island red people ain't African? Because...
What are you trying to say Long Island people?
And they Creole base?
Because the base of the language is the African structure. See, so there's more than one level. Yes, I see your hand, Ms. Green. Go right ahead.
Okay, so earlier you said there are some like rules or forms, things to look for, right? One of them was how we emphasize things.
Yes.
And so I asked you, we have these two things. We say, I will do my endeavor best. Is that an example of how
that's
we emphasize, like, is that an African?
See, you keep coming up with these really interesting things. Yes, probably, but I can't answer that, but yes,
and
I
then,
think
like,
so.
For me personally, right? Like, that's another, because it's for me.
Right. So you're using that same thing, but you're very, okay, so some of the things that I would have referred to would be when we repeat the same word, right? Back.
Yeah.
I was going to say reverse back.
Right? Reverse back is when we get improper, but back.
Is right.
Right?
So,
it's what we would actually say.
So that's an example. The back is
could be
African.
Is that Creole?
Yes, it is Creole. Then if you want to say these canaps, but they sweet.
Mm. Yeah.
And if they're really sweet, we'd say they sweet.
Mm-hmm.
By repeating that's the emphasis. Mm. Whereas in Britain, English, we would say these are extremely sweet canaps.
Question. Mm-hmm. In the United Kingdom, Cockney, which few Bahamians could understand,
mm-hmm.
right? And they have a different version of the, this English tongue.
Mm-hmm.
They claim that none of that is a Creole
language. No, it's not, no.
They're saying that that is a
dialect.
Dialect.
Because it is
but
a
I can understand Bohemian speaking, because they speak English, but I can't understand not a Cockney, because that's a different language.
Right, and but a Cockney can't understand Bohemian.
Yes, but what we speak here, English people can understand.
No.
No?
English people can't understand us?
No.
Go ahead.
What's
not if we not if we speak in all right, so people would say, I can understand you in the workplace, but then I come to your home and I have no idea what y'all are saying.
You're speaking quickly.
And you're speaking more of the Bahamian Creole. When mm-hmm. you're in the workplace, and we do these things unconsciously, when we're in the workplace, we switch into a more standard version. And then I'm on the radio, I'm using a more standard version.
But the, so right? doesn't the workplace then determine how they speak and all of that?
Well,
so
no,
that
it
yes, it does, because we have this idea of what professional demeanor is.
Right. It's class, right?
Right.
It's and class. That's like I say, I tell the people all the time, don't be, you know, don't be
this
like
is
me.
Because she's speaking Creole right now.
when the government legalized the weeds, then don't be like me and be in the inner city talking about, can I have a weed, please, sir? Can I? Are you selling weed today? Can I have two weeds, please?
So
right?
What did you just say? You said when the government, did you say them?
Yeah.
When the government
them legalize.
So that's African. Legalize, which is also African because government legalizes in English.
Yeah.
All right.
Is there space for...
And it sounds funky to you, right?
But is there space for Bohemian Creole in mainstream Bohemiana?
Absolutely.
And when I say mainstream Bohemiana, I talk about in the workplace, in
yes.
our halls of parliament, in our newsroom.
But what
because
do you
we
think
have...
people are speaking when they're not on the air?
You don't hear them in the House of Parliament?
What do you think they're speaking in the halls of the House of Assembly?
Often, when we hear our news reporters speak, you see Bohemians critiquing them. Oh, they can't speak. Right.
Because maybe if it doesn't happen nearly as much today, but there was a period of time when people used to overcorrect. And they would say things like, there was, you know, like, when you, there's a particular word that when I was growing up, people used to make fun of, people who overcorrected, right? Because we know that in our accent, but also because of the African root, certain diphthongs, certain sounds do not reproduce or are not to be found, right? So the th and the th that are part of English are not so easy. And also the other thing is two consonants next to each other, like film or flamingo in English.
Flamingo.
In the African language, you have to put a separation in there.
Mm-hmm.
Film. Mm-hmm. Or flamingo.
Flamingo.
Yeah,
flamingo.
Right? So that is part of that's part of it.
So you're telling me that Thompson that Thompson is acceptable? Is it different?
No, Thompson is an overcorrection of because the English is a silent H, Thompson.
Right.
Thompson. Right? Right. So the Thompson is an overcorrection. The other thing that would be an overcorrection is when people say Thurlet. I would like to go to the Thurlet.
Listen,
place.
You don't in the most appropriate, you gotta when you're in Rome, you gotta do what the people in Rome
right?
do. So when you get to a fancy place,
but
if you feel the need to say Thurlet, okay? Don't let the people know
except
you ain't
for
fancy.
Somebody, except for somebody who speaks standard English would have no idea what that is because the word is T-O-I-L-E-T.
So then the Creole
toilet.
Part of that'll be toilet.
Yes, toilet. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A quick question. The Gullah Geechee tongue, is that a dialect?
That is a Creole.
But are we speaking Gullah Geechee?
Some of us are.
Some of us speaking there?
I mean, yes. That they have. That is the name of the language there.
When that they we created speak, undrafted. Behavior,
no, when we speak... So there is a connection between the Carolinas and the Bahamas.
And Barbados and Guyana. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, there's a strong connection between... But particularly between the Carolina and the Bahamas because it's historical. It's pre-loyalist and then it's also post-loyalist, right?
Mm-hmm. Lord Barbados came from there.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, we were all part of the same lands that they had. Right? The Carolinas were part of the Lord's Proprietor's holdings along with the Bahamas.
1647 when the Lord Proprietors got the Bahamas and Virginia and the Bahamas. But go ahead.
Yes. See. Yes. And then after that, when the Loyalists came.
After the Loyalists.
Right? The Loyalists also came from the Carolinas. So there's like
83.
A reinforcement
mm-hmm.
of that connection.
Uh-huh.
So Gullah Geechee has very strong similarities to Bahamian, the Bahamian Creole.
Ask and ask. Right? Which one is right?
It depends on which language you speak in.
All right.
I want to also...
In Bahamian Creole English, acts.
Who should be responsible for the Bahamian dictionary of Bahamian words and stuff like that?
It should be an evolving thing. It
shouldn't be controlled by government, say, but this is our official language.
It could be. Well, it all depends. Like, okay, so the English language is not run like that, right? The Latinate languages, French and Spanish, tend to have academies that determine what is the proper French and the proper Spanish.
Can English we have that in the Bahamas?
English does not have an academy. Right? So, yeah, we can have it in the Bahamas, but it is not, do we want to?
But English have the Oxford Dictionary and an Oxford verb.
Yeah,
and
but
they
it,
use
no,
that
no,
as the
no,
official
no, no,
defining of who they are.
They don't, though.
They don't do that?
No, that ain't what they do. They use the Oxford English Dictionary to find out what words mean, what they meant in the past, and so on. The Great Britain does not have an academy that determines what is proper English and what isn't proper English.
We're almost out of time. I'll give you the last word. But have there been any new words coined in Bahamianese? I have one.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I have one I want to throw out. Do you know any?
I can't think of any right now, but yes, there are.
I think barat?
Yeah, for sure.
Barat?
I'm not sure. I don't know who coined wibe.
Yeah.
That's a vibe.
That's right. A vibe.
This has been Guardian Radio in the Air.
I don't know if
that's
a
Bahamian
one. Thank
you very much, Dr. Nicolette Bethel Burroughs. Take it last thing correct.
All good.
Forces only confirmed 6.